Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for these gifts of grace which you've bestowed upon us and give back only a portion of that which you have given. Bless the hearts and the hands who have given, Lord, and have a special anointing on those who wanted to give but could not. Lord, we ask that you use these gifts of grace for the strengthening of ministry here at Gila Mountain United Methodist Church for this kingdom and the next one to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In my very first appointment in ministry, I happened to be in the same county that my mother was in, North Carolina. So she was just down the street from me. And I can remember calling her one day. She had an appointment in which there was a woman who came to clean her house every week, which I thought was really nice. And I was talking to her on the phone one day, and I said, "Well, what are you doing?" She said, "Well, I have to go right now." And I said, "Well, what's going on?" She said, "Well, I have a woman who's coming to clean my house, so I need to clean it first before she gets here." Do you know the way of it? Do you know how we do this? We prepare ourselves for something. We appear to make ourselves look more extravagant or more organized, or sometimes we just want to appear to look differently than we normally do. How would you today, if Jesus were to come to your house this afternoon, how would you prepare for him? Would you offer him a glass of wine? Or would you put away all your alcohol to where Jesus couldn't see it? Would you turn on the football game knowing that people are working on the Sabbath and knowing that one of God's commandments is that we shouldn't be involved in people working on the Sabbath? Or would you enjoy the game with him? Would you ask your children to act differently than they normally do? And truthfully, folks, would you and I act differently than we normally do? I know it's hard to believe, but sometimes in the life of the church, we act differently than we normally do. How would you prepare for Jesus today if he were going to come over to your house? In Luke, we find out that John the Baptist simply appears, and in Matthew as well. But before he appears, we know that there is a preparation made for him. And in fact, the scripture in Luke tells us that his dad, Zechariah, who is a small-town priest, was burning incense when an angel appeared to him. And he tells us this, and the angel tells Zechariah this, that is, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and he shall be called John. He will be great before the Lord, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will turn many people toward the Lord, and he will go before them in the power and the Spirit of Elijah the prophet." Now, in the gospel of both Luke and Matthew, the Christmas gospels, John simply appears. He appears in the wilderness. In the Luke account, he says a little bit more than he does in the Matthew account. I want to share the Luke account with you. He is giving the words of Isaiah. "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Now for Isaiah, these were words of hope for people who were in exile, because Isaiah truly believed that somehow if we can make our paths straight in this world, if we can somehow align the crooked to make things straight, then we would be in a better presence of God than we are right now. That's what the prophet believed. John the Baptist obviously believed this too, that somehow if we can make the path straight in this world, then we're accommodating the presence of God in this world. For Isaiah, this was a statement for people who were exiled. For John the Baptist, this was a statement for you and I preparing our way to be in the presence of Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew, he makes a very similar statement. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord, make his path straight." And people came all around to be baptized by him in the Jordan River. John is calling his audience at the time, and for anyone who will hear these words, to make the paths of this world straight. Of all the Advent texts, I struggle with this one the most. I think it's the most difficult to preach. It is the most difficult to preach because it's a, to me, it is a gospel lesson on social justice. John is calling you and I, the church, the people in a community, to take a critical look at what's going on in our world and to take a critical path towards the world in order to see whatever is crooked and to make the paths straight. How would you and I, in the world in which we live, make the crooked paths straight to be more God-centered? How would you and I, in a crooked world, make the paths straight in order to be more Christ-centered in our church, in our communities, in our ministries? How do we make the paths of God straight again? To me, there's only one way to do it. We have to completely get rid of all the injustices in the world. We have to abide by the gospel at all possible times. This is the only way to make our messy world straight again. Have you noticed that we live in a messy world? Has anybody noticed that? And I think, truthfully, that one thing that happens when you live in a messy world is you become numb to the mess. You become numb to what's going on. You accept and expect mess in this world. Who here doesn't expect or accept mess in this world? We've come to accept it. We've come to expect it. That somehow we come to expect a crookedness in our world. We come to expect this crookedness. And John is calling on us to make the path straight. Christ calls us to be willing to go with the cross. And John the Baptist, in this scripture, calls us to create Christ-centered boundaries, inconvenient boundaries, difficult and unstabilizing boundaries, insecure boundaries for making God's paths straight again in this world. Now, most of us, if we're being honest, would probably respond to this by saying, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to make God's path straight again. It's inconvenient. It's unstabilizing. It makes enemies. One of the things that I often hear, when I was in both Tucson and Gilbert, I was in a social justice group, in a community group. And one of the common things that I would hear is, David, you should let someone else take care of that. David, you should let the politicians take care of that. Notice, folks, in this text, John the Baptist is calling on godly people to make God's path straight again, calling on you and me, the church, calling on the community of God to make paths straight again. How can you and I make paths straight again in a world which is crooked? How does John the Baptist's call underscore our work where there is massive crookedness in this world? How does John the Baptist's call underscore our work in a world where there is massive economic inequality? How does John the Baptist's call underscore our work where the top 10% make more than the lower 90%? How does John the Baptist's call underscore our work in a world where 80% of all universal resources are consumed by 20% of a population? How does John the Baptist's call underscore our work in a world in which women nationally make 80 cents on the dollar for men and minority women make 55 cents on the dollar to men? How does John the Baptist's call underscore our call in this world? How does it underscore our call in this world? Now, believe it or not, folks, there is a starting point for making paths straight again, for making godly paths straight again. If you notice in this text, John the Baptist had an audience receptive to that. He had a congregation that was receptive and saying, well, what shall we do? And he gives two very important notes here. He says, first of all, you must confess, and then you must repent. So I want to talk about those. First of all, confession. Confession is our willingness to say everything, to admit everything that has separated us from God. What is it that has separated us from God in this world? What lies have led us to this place? What acts of irresponsibility and accountability have led us to this place? What unaccountable acts continue to separate us from God? What immoral and unethical acts separate us from God? And what has led us to this place? We need to truly search our hearts, folks, you and me, so that we can be accountable, so that we can confess what it is that has separated us from God in this world. And then John the Baptist calls us to an invitational repentance. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this word repentance. The Greek root word here is metanoia, which is the same root word which is found in transformation. Repentance isn't just saying, well, I'll do that one time, or I'll do that later, or I'll do that this time, but I'll go back to what I was doing. Repentance is a transformation of your life. It is a transformation of your heart. It is a transformation of your mind. It is a new way of living in Christ Jesus. Anyone who says they're willing to repent is willing to say, I will put everything behind me which has separated me from God. And John the Baptist calls us to these two areas. Not only confession of what we have been doing, but to transform ourselves so that we can get these world's paths straight. After we confess, we must be willing to repent. Now, I know that some people will say, well, that's really hard. And you're right, it is. It's a very difficult thing. And there will be some who will do it and some who won't. I truly believe that John the Baptist believed we could make the paths straight, make God-centered paths straight in this world. Otherwise, he wouldn't be calling us to do this. And of all the high profile, if you read the Gospel of Luke, you'll find out 7 high status characters when John the Baptist creates his call in the wilderness. Of all the high profile, high status, and powerful men that surrounded this community, this small town, God called on John the Baptist, the bohemian, the hippie, the man with long hair, the most unique person in this community, in order to initiate and persevere in God's mission. John proclaims that if we want to make this world's paths straight again, he calls us to an area of confession, and he calls us to an area of repentance. And following that, he baptized people in the River Jordan. Now, folks, if you're baptized in this church or if you're baptized in any other church, it doesn't matter. If you're baptized, not only are you baptized in a church with a community, with a nurturing community saying, we will nurture you, but we are baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Part of preparing our hearts for this Advent season involves confronting our own confession and repentance. Repentance is a change of heart. And folks, Jesus does not care if you have alcohol in your house, nor does Jesus care if you're going to watch the football game today, nor does Jesus care if you have a wild child. Jesus is after your heart. Jesus is after your heart, and Jesus is after my heart. Jesus wants us to give our heart to Him so that we can be full of confession and we can be full of repentance and we can start preparing to make this world's path straight. John the Baptist lived in a world divided by politics, and the Word of God came to him. Truly, I believe that John the Baptist believed he could overturn the world. He could rethink the world. He could reorganize the world. He was calling on godly people everywhere, you and me, the church, to do what is just and right in this world. He was calling on godly people everywhere to rethink how we make God's path straight once again. He was calling on godly people everywhere to put into action new beginnings in which we, the people of God, will make the path straight of God in this world again. We'll make Christ-centered path straight in this world again. Do we hear John's call in our lives? Will we hear John's call in our lives to make God's path straight again in this world? Because John believed it could happen. Preparing a world for peace means overturning, rethinking, and redefining everything which is crooked in the world, which is not God-centered in this world. Will we hear this call? Preparing our hearts for Christ's presence means rethinking equality in a crooked world. Will we hear John's call? Preparing our hearts for Christ's presence means rethinking inclusion in a crooked world. Will we hear John's call? Preparing our hearts for Christ's presence means rethinking community in a crooked world. Will we hear John's call? Preparing our hearts for Christ's presence means rethinking justice in a crooked world. Do we hear John's call? Preparing our hearts for Christ's presence means rethinking peaceful measures in a crooked world. Do we hear God's call? And preparing our hearts for Christ's presence means rethinking and reevaluating our own accountability, our own lies, our own crookedness, our own confession, and our own repentance in a world in which we live. Preparing our hearts for Christ's presence means transforming our lives as stated in our baptism to emulate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in order to make this world's path straight. Will we hear the call? Do we hear the call? It's a difficult text because it's a difficult proclamation and it's a difficult task in a crooked world. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, you have set at our disposal many different things. And part of what you've done is you've called us to a time and a place to make your path straight again. It starts with us, Lord. It starts with our own confession about what we've done to separate ourselves from you. It starts with our own repentance, Lord, to where we would transform our hearts and minds and lives to be Christ-centered in order to be more like you. And you call us, Lord, to create waves, to be involved in areas of ministry, to do things in this world that are right and just. Call us once again, Lord, in this second week of Advent, that we may be involved in creating paths which are straight for you, and allow us to prepare our hearts for you in this time of year, so that we may be in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.